Well, good morning, my friends. It is wonderful Wednesday, December 14th, 2011. This is Paul Hutchings calling in from Southeast Idaho. Man, am I excited. We are gathering quite a large number of people that are committed to selecting a definite major purpose, standing by that definite major purpose, cultivating desire, developing plans, masterminding, and sticking by whatever temporary defeat might come in their paths to achieve great things in life. And that is absolutely something to be excited about. If you are on this call, you fall right into that category. Just real quick, I mentioned the other day that I read a book called The Story of Albert Schweitzer. And that book impressed me because one of the reasons it impressed me because Albert Schweitzer, at a young age in his 20s, made a decision that when he turned 30, he was going to spend the rest of his life in the service of his fellow man. And he moved to Africa. He actually became a physician. When he got to Africa, he didn't turn around because it was hot and sweaty and the working conditions were terrible. He didn't turn around when he found that the people were steeped in superstition. He didn't turn around when he ran into cases that he couldn't solve and it was just the most difficult thing he'd ever done in his life. He didn't turn around when he had to get up early in the morning and work late into the night, day after day after day. He selected a definite major purpose, and he stood by that for the rest of his life. And because he did, he became a name that's well known all throughout humanity as one of the great men of our time. And I love that. And that's what we're doing, my friends. If you're on this call, we are learning how to stand out from the crowd, how to select a purpose and stand by it no matter what. So I'm just excited. Wanted to just throw those couple quick comments out there before we got started. We are going through chapter 2 of the book, the monumental book, Think and Grow Rich. And yesterday, Bill, our good friend, mentor, compadre, shared with us the first half of an incredible, miraculous story of Napoleon Hill's very own son, who was born without ears. And the doctors, everyone that looked at him, said he will never hear, he will be deaf, he will be mute all of his life. And Napoleon, understanding or thinking to understand some of the laws of the universe, said to himself, no, if I can desire for my son that this challenge can be turned into an asset, if I can transfer that desire into my son's mind, this will become an asset. And eventually, if I have faith and I cultivate that desire, my son will eventually hear. And so we've gotten through the first part of this story. Bill's going to finish it out for us. So, Bill, you on the line with me, my friend?
Yes, sir. I'm right here, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody. Good morning. We ended that story. I'll just read the last couple lines of the paragraph for those of you that were with us yesterday. If you recall, the young boy was going to bed, and when both parents got home that night, they found him asleep in his bed, tightly clenched in his hand. Money was in his hand from whence he went out trying to make it with selling newspapers that day. His mother opened his hand, removed the coins, and cried. Of all things, crying over her son's first victory seemed so inappropriate. My reaction was the reverse. That's Napoleon speaking. I laughed heartily, for I knew that my endeavor to plant in the child's mind an attitude of faith in himself had been successful. And when you listen to me read this today, listen to both the mother's ideas and her perceptions of this, and listen to Napoleon. They're completely different. And listen how they eventually chime together. His mother saw in his first business venture a little deaf boy who had gone out in the streets and risked his life to earn money. I saw a brave, ambitious, self-reliant little businessman who took stock in himself, had been increased 100% because he had gone into business on his own initiative and had won. The transaction pleased me because I knew that he had given evidence of a trait of resourcefulness that would go with him all through his life. Later events proved this to be true. When his older brother wanted something, he would lie down on the floor, kick his feet in the air, cry for it, and get it. When the little deaf boy wanted something, he would plan a way to earn the money, then buy it for himself. He still follows that plan. Truly, my own son has taught me that handicaps can be converted into stepping stones on which one may climb towards some worthy goal, unless they are accepted as obstacles and used as alibis. That's powerful stuff right there. The little deaf boy went through the grades high school and college without being able to hear his teachers, excepting when they shouted loudly at close range. He did not go to school for the deaf. We would not permit him to learn the sign language. We were determined that he would live a normal life and associate with normal children, and we stood by that decision, although it cost us many heated debates with school officials. While he was in high school, he tried an electrical hearing aid, but it was of no value to him, due, we believed, to a condition that was disclosed when the child was six by Dr. J. Gordon Wilson of Chicago, when he operated on one side of the boy's head and discovered that there was no sign of a natural hearing equipment in there. During his last week in college, 18 years after the operation, something happened which marked the most important turning point of his life. Through what seemed to be mere chance, he came into possession of another electrical hearing device, which was sent to him on a trial basis. He was slow about testing it due to his disappointment with a similar device that they had tried. Finally, he picked the instrument up and more or less carelessly placed it on his head, hooked up the battery, and lo, as if by a stroke of magic, his lifelong desire for normal hearing became a reality. For the first time in his life, he heard practically as well as any person with normal hearing. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Overjoyed because of the changed world which had been brought to him through his hearing device, he rushed to the telephone, called his mother, and heard her voice perfectly. The next day, he plainly heard the voices of his professors in class for the first time in his life. Previously, he could hear them only when they shouted at short range. He heard the radio. He heard the talking pictures. For the first time in his life, he could converse freely with other people without the necessity of their having to speak loudly. Truly, he had come into possession of a changed world. He had refused to accept nature's error, and by persistent desire, we had induced nature to correct that error through the only practical means available. Desire had commenced to pay dividends, but the victory was not yet complete. The boy still had to find a definite and practical way to convert his handicap into an equivalent asset. Hardly realizing the significance of what had already been accomplished, but intoxicated with the joy of his newly discovered world of sound, he wrote a letter to the manufacturer of the hearing aid company, enthusiastically describing his experience. Something in his letter, perhaps which was not written on the lines, but back of them, caused the company to invite him to New York. When he arrived, he was escorted through the factory, and while talking with the chief engineer, telling him about his changed world, a hunch, an idea, or an inspiration, call it what you wish, flashed into his mind. It was this impulse of thought which converted his affliction into an asset, destined to pay dividends on both money and happiness to thousands for all to come. The sum and substance of that impulse of thought was this. It occurred to him that he might be of help to the millions of deafened people who go through life without the benefit of hearing devices if he could find a way to tell them the story of his changed world. Then and there, he reached a decision to devote the remainder of his life to rendering useful service to the hard of hearing. For an entire month, he carried on an intensive research, during which he analyzed the entire marketing system of the manufacturer of the hearing device and created ways and means of communicating with the hard of hearing all over the world for the purpose of sharing with them his newly discovered changed world. That was his mantra, changed world. When this was done, he put in writing a 2-year plan based upon his findings. When he presented the plan to the company, he was instantly given a position for the purpose of carrying out his ambition. Little did he dream when he went to work that he was destined to bring hope and practical relief to thousands of deafened people who, without his help, would have been doomed forever to deaf mutism. Shortly after he became associated with the manufacturer of his hearing aid, he invited me to attend a class conducted by his company for the purpose of teaching deaf mutes to hear and to speak. I had never heard of such a form of education. Therefore, I visited the class. Skeptical, but hopeful that my time would not be entirely wasted, here I saw a demonstration which gave me a greatly enlarged vision of what I had done to arouse and keep alive in my son's mind the desire for normal hearing. I saw deaf mutes actually being taught to hear and to speak through application of the same principle I had used more than 20 years previously in saving my son from the same problems, deaf mutism. Thus, through some strange turn of the wheel of fate, my son, Blair, and I have been destined to aid in correcting deaf mutism for those as yet unborn, because we are the only living human beings, as far as I know, who have established definitely the fact that deaf mutism can be corrected to the extent of restoring to normal life those who suffer with this affliction. It has been done for one. It will be done for others. There is no doubt in my mind that Blair would have been a deaf mute all his life. If his mother and I had not managed to shape his mind as we did, the doctor who attended his birth told us, confidentially, the child might never hear or speak. A few weeks ago, Dr. Irving Voorhees, a noted specialist on such cases, examined Blair thoroughly. He was astounded when he learned how well my son now hears and speaks, and said his examination indicated that theoretically, the boy should not be able to hear at all, but the lad does hear, despite the fact that X-ray pictures show there is no opening in the skull whatsoever from where his ear should be and where there should be a hole to the brain. When I planted this in his mind, the desire to hear and talk and live as a normal person, there went with that impulse some strange influence which caused nature to become a bridge builder and span the gulf of silence between his brain and the outer world by some means which the keenest medical specialists have not been able to interpret. It would be sacrilege for me to even conjecture as to how nature performed this miracle. It would be unforgivable if I neglected to tell the world as much as I know of the humble part I assumed in this strange experience. It is my duty and a privilege to say I believe, and not without reason, that nothing is impossible to the person who backs desire with enduring faith. Again, not without reason that nothing is impossible to the person who backs desire with enduring faith. Verily, a burning desire has devious ways of transmuting itself into its physical equivalent. Blair desired normal hearing. Now he has it. He was born with a handicap which might easily have sent one with a less defined desire to the street with a bundle of pencils and a tin cup. That handicap now promises to serve as the medium by which he will render useful service to many millions of hard of hearing. Also, to give him useful employment at adequate financial compensation the remainder of his life. The little white lies I planted in his mind when he was a child by leading him to believe his affliction would become a great asset, which he could capitalize, just justified itself. Verily, there is nothing, right or wrong, which belief plus burning desire cannot make real. These qualities are free to everyone In all my experience in dealing with men and women who had personal problems, I never handled a single case which more definitely demonstrates the power of desire. Authors sometimes make the mistake of writing of subjects of which they have but superficial or very elementary knowledge. It has been my good fortune to have had the privilege of testing the soundness of the power of desire through the affliction of my own son. Perhaps it was providential that the experience came as it did, for surely no one is better prepared than he to serve as an example of what happens when desire is put to the test. If Mother Nature bends to the will of desire, is it logical that mere men can defeat a burning desire? Strange and imponderable is the power of the human mind. We do not understand the method by which it uses every circumstance, every individual, every physical thing within its reach, as a means of transmuting desire into a physical counterpart. Perhaps science will uncover this secret someday. I planted in my son's mind the desire to hear, to speak, as any normal person hears and speaks. That desire has now become a reality. I planted in his mind the desire to convert his greatest handicap into his greatest asset. That desire has been realized. The modus operandi by which this outstanding result was achieved is not hard to describe. It consisted of three very definite facts. First, I mixed faith with the desire for normal hearing, which I passed on to my son. Second, I communicated my desire to him in every conceivable way available, through persistence, continuous effort over a period of years. And third, he believed me. Very important. As this chapter was being completed, news came of the death. Oh, well, that's the end of it. Paul, that's the end of it. Yep. He believed me. Yep, that's going into the next chapter. So that's it. You know, this is powerful stuff. We talked about it yesterday. I mean, I told the story yesterday of what I went through to be able to speak again without major headaches because of the breakage of my jaw. But I'll tell you, this is powerful stuff. This basically is talking about that we can will anything we want, but it has to become a part of us. I was talking to a young lady last night that said she wants to put a microphone in her hand and she wants to become a trainer, a speaker. She wants to help people. She believed that the best speakers and the best trainers come from people that have been through many, 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 many trials. And she has already been through many trials in her young 30 years of life. And she loves to talk and she loves to share and she loves to help. I told her, I said, well, then, Danielle, you have to make it, you know, 100% of yourself. This has to become you. You have to become a part of it. You have to search out everything there is to do with speaking. You have to work on personal development. You have to read book after book after book. You have to find out from the best and the worst who are doing that business. Anyway, Paul, that's what I have to say. This is a very powerful chapter. You know, it hits very close to home. And I'll give it up to you. And that's a nicer segue than you gave me.
Well, I do appreciate that, Bill. You know, it is a powerful chapter because it's almost magical because it explains in principles how we can literally hold our world within our hands and shape and sculpt our own lives. You know, a couple of lines from that story that stick out to me. God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Yeah. We don't understand how the world is going to move to allow us to achieve that which we desire. You know, these things will happen that appear to us to be as miracles. A lot of times when I talk about my story, I use the word miracle. I use it all the time. And, you know, and Melvin, a good friend of mine, a business partner, is on the call a lot. He's like, Paul, it's not a miracle. You know, you just learned laws and applied laws. I'm like, I know, but it appears to be a miracle because these things happen that I just don't understand. These things can happen for us, these miraculous things, if we will understand the principles that you know Napoleon is trying to convey to us through this book. Another line that I really like, it said, Napoleon said, "If Mother Nature bends to the will of desire, is it logical that mere men can defeat a burning desire?" No,
yeah.
It's not logical at all. You know,
no
mortal man or woman can stop you in your desire as long as you set that major purpose and you follow these laws. So just real quick, I want to recap, you know, as we're going through these stories, all the way through this book, what I really want to do and what I want to encourage everybody to do is pay close attention and extrapolate the principles, the laws, the truths that we can pull from these stories and apply directly into our own lives on a daily basis, because that is when it will be transformational for us. So just real quick, recap, burning desire, that's step number one. You know, Napoleon wanted his son to be able to hear and talk as a normal person, so he had that desire, and then he mixed it, as he said, with absolute and enduring faith, belief. And how did he do it? You know, this is key. He did it through auto-suggestion. He did it through planting these thoughts in his son's mind, you know, through putting his lips on his on the bone on his face to where his son could start to hear the things he was saying. Auto-suggestion. And he used the term little white lies. And I think that is a significant term, because sometimes when we're doing auto-suggestion and planting these ideas in our minds, like, by the first day of March 2012, I will have in my possession $3,000 monthly residual income. That may seem like a little white lie when you first start telling yourself, because you don't know, right? You don't know if it'll work. And then when you repeat the self-confidence formula, and you say to yourself, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent and continuous action. Well, do you know that you have the ability to achieve your definite major purpose in life? Maybe not right when you first begin. And so maybe it is a little white lie that you're telling yourself. But what will happen if you're persistent in this? Is you will begin to believe those words, as you back them with emotion, as you back them with power, as you start to look in your life for experiences where you have been successful, and you start to ignore and cast out of your mind whatever experiences come that say, oh, well, you were a failure here or you were a failure here. You don't even think about those. You cast them out. You get rid of them. As you start to focus on this mind management, this power, these little white lies will turn into absolute beliefs. And are they lies? You know, the future, faith is belief. I heard a definition of faith that says faith is belief in that which we do not see, but which is true. Okay, so just because we don't see the money in our life yet, it can be true if we follow these laws. So it's not a little white lie that we tell ourselves that this is coming. So burning desire, absolute and enduring faith, persistence, maybe even over years. Okay, I hate to point this out, but it's the truth. Napoleon and his son, it literally took years of persistence for that desire to come into a reality. Now, they saw some great signs in the beginning. You know, the little boy was self-reliant, and he went out and sold newspapers, and so they did see some feedback and some great positive stuff, but it wasn't until he went to college that finally he was able to come across that device that allowed him to hear. So persistence is extremely important, and it might not happen for you in the first month or the second month or the third month, but this is where having that commitment where you decide that, you know what, my life, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to decide on a definite major purpose. I'm going to pick something that is so important to me that I don't care if it takes me till the day I die, I am going to stand by this purpose and make it happen. That's the kind of commitment that we all need. Otherwise, we're going to float around in life and, you know, society is going to push us one way and other people are going to push us another way. And we're not going to do anything important if we don't adopt this major purpose and we don't say to ourselves, what do I really want in life? Who do I want to impact? How do I want to change the world? And you know what? It's so important. I'm going to stand by it even if it takes me years. So burning desire, absolute faith, persistence over years. And then finally, the other two that I noticed, planning. His son had a plan to help that company. He had a 2 to 5 year plan, and action was taken, planning action. So desire, faith, persistence, planning, action. I hope you're starting to notice a recurring theme here, because these are the ideas that, you know, we talk about on the call every day. They're the ideas that are prevalent in every story. 3 feet from gold, the 50-cent lesson in persistence, these stories that we've read so far, these are all principles that you'll find. And as you start to analyze successful people in every walk of life, these are principles that are universal. So, you know, will they work for you? Yes. Yes, they will. I guarantee it, because they are laws. They are principles that we can all apply if we will but have persistence and take the time, have patience in ourselves to stick by them, understand them, and apply them in our lives. So anyway, that's my little rant. Let's open up the lines here. Give me just a second.
You know, Paul, you said it so well. You said everything so well, and I just want to add to that that these little white lies are not so much white lies. It's more of a visualization. And if you're a visual person like I am, or I've trained myself to become one, you need to visualize everything. You need to see yourself doing. And in seeing yourself doing these profound things that you so inherently feel from within, and that you feel them on your insides, and you know that this has become a part of you, whatever it is, once it's become a part of you, then you visualize, see yourself doing these things. When you do that, you automatically are headed in that direction. So when you get up in the morning and you visualize, oh, it's even if it's pouring rain outside and gloomy or whatever, and you're not liking the day, you still visualize for yourself, it's going to be a great day. I'm going to have fun talking to people. I'm going to have fun when I pick up the phone. I'm going to make new friends. I'm going to meet new people, and I'm going to find out. I'm going to learn more fun stuff. Just like on this call that I get on every morning, I'm going to meet new and intriguing people that I'm going to learn fascinating stuff from. And so you visualize your day. You visualize the things you're going to see that day. And then for your future, you visualize, you see yourself doing things. And in that process, as you continue to do that every single day when you wake up, you work through your daily routine and you visualize and see yourself, okay, how am I going to get myself and see myself to that point? How am I going to believe in that? I'm going to have faith that that's going to happen. Well, how am I going to create the action necessary to create that desire? Mm-hmm. Bingo, you visualize yourself in it and you will be there. You will see yourself there and you will get there. Whether it takes 10 years or 30 years, you will get there. It has to become a part of you. Paul?
Absolutely. And I just wanted to share one quick little tidbit. My mom, for those of you that don't know, my mom has been, she got scarlet fever when she was a little girl, and she's been deaf all her life. She's 60 years old, and my stepdad came over to my house yesterday and was telling me about this procedure that these doctors have developed down in Texas, where it may be possible through an operation that her hearing could be restored. And here I am thinking, as we're reading, you know, and learning these principles, what if some of these doctors that have been working on these procedures, what if they would have accepted, well, no, it's impossible. We can't go in and fix something like that. Her nerves have been destroyed. There's no way. You know, but no, there are people out there that have refused to accept no for an answer, and they've been persistent, and they've been working on things to where now there are these miraculous procedures that can be done. You know, and what an amazing thing that my mom at 60 years old might be able to hear. I'm so grateful for these principles and for people that are willing to stand by and not take no for an answer, and go out there and make amazing things happen. And so what, you know, whose lives will be different if you don't, you know, apply these things in your life? Anyway, just a thought. All right, press *6 to come on the line if you have questions or comments. I'd love to hear from you. *6 to mute your line, or unmute your line. I'm sorry. Let me check the line here. Anyone there? Anyone have anything to say?
Hey, Paul. This is Joy.
Hey, Joy.
Yeah, I like what you just said. So if we are networking out there and we just quit, what if we are supposed to be the avenue that someone has been speaking in? What if we're the connection that we're supposed to be there at that time and place and we didn't do it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's such a that's more of a reality than many of us realize. You know, I mean, for 6 years I failed in this industry, literally. Five years, you know, pretty much total failure, no money. What if I would have quit? This call wouldn't be here where we'd be all, you know, talking about these ideas and inspiring each other. That's just one example, you know. That's more of a reality for all of us than we know, Joy. Thank you for pointing that out. So very true.
Hey, Paul. Wow. Jeff in Virginia.
Hey, Jeff.
And I got a question. I've been thinking about it since yesterday. Yesterday you mentioned that every morning you were out in your driveway just speaking out your affirmations and I just wonder, what was your experience? How long did it take? You know, there's kind of this little no man's land that we're in. I'm working and it's not happening as fast as I want it to. So it's kind of, is this really this plane really going to get off the ground? Can you talk to me about that no man's land and how long it took you to get through that?
Yeah, I believe it was right around April or June of last year when I started doing this stuff. And you know, I remember going out and going through these affirmations, and in the beginning, I didn't, you know, like I said earlier on the call, they were kind of like little white lies. I didn't know, you know, if it was going to happen, but it probably within like 2 or 3 weeks, and I would literally repeat these ideas out loud to myself so that I could hear them, and then I eventually recorded my own voice, and I would listen to my voice and speak it out while I was listening to my voice through headphones. And it took about probably 3-4 weeks before I started actually believing and seeing in my mind. And that was one of the other things that I would do is I would visualize the check that I was going to receive with the name of the company on the top left-hand side. And then I started having these realizations that, okay, this is coming. All I need to do is perform the necessary action. And in network marketing, the action is you have to talk to people. And you have to know what to say, and you know you have to you know perfect these skills. And so as I was performing my plan, as I was visualizing my goal, I started to tweak my plan. You know, am I talking to people every day? Am I talking to people who want to be, you know, hearing about these things? And I started to devise better ways for myself to be able to get on the phone with people who were interested in, you know, this field of network marketing and personal growth. And I did that on a daily basis, and I got better and better over probably the next couple of months to where for me, it took me about, let's see, June, July, August, September. I believe it was 3 or 4 months when I very first saw like the most incredible manifestation of this stuff that I've ever seen, or one of the first most powerful, and that was about 3 or 4 months into this. I saw the check, you know, the check that I was seeing in my mind with the name of the company on the top left hand side. At the time, my goal was $3,000 a month, and I was seeing I think it was $1,400 of that $3,000 a month coming from a particular company. Well, 3 months after doing this, I log into my back office for that company, check my commissions, and the exact dollar amount that I saw in my mind on that check actually was posted in my back office with the exception of there was a $2 check fee. So I was $2 short of the exact dollar amount that I had been seeing in my mind for 3 months. I honestly couldn't even hardly believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. This exact dollar amount I've been seeing in my mind for the last 3 months is now on its way in the mail to me in the form of this check. So for me, that's how long it took. But I would just reiterate, don't compare yourself to me because everybody's different. You know, I literally had quit my job. I was working full time, so I did have more time to work at this stuff than maybe some people that are still working a full time job. So don't expect that it will happen in the exact same amount of time, but do expect that it will happen if you formulate the right plans and stand by that purpose and develop this faith that it will happen for you. Is that what you were looking for? Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, Paul, if I can just add to that, you know, every time you repeat something of the same value that is with in regards to yourself, it's just like why I say it's so important to have a mission statement. Well, Paul brought to the table these affirmations, and they're also extremely important. And the more I'm going on in my professional career, I'm finding that these affirmations are huge. I used to do it on a casual basis every single day in the morning when I looked in the mirror. That's how I was trained. That's how I was programmed. And that's how I was trained into this business, is that I would look in the mirror and I would look in deep inside myself and realize who I really was as a human being, as a person. Paul brought to the table that these affirmations should be written down and should be repeated often. Well, that's so true. I mean, that's common sense. I don't know why I didn't, you know, pick up on that years ago. But every time you repeat something positive and see yourself doing it, the more you hear it, the more you repeat it, the more you say it, the more you're going to be thinking it, the more you're going to feel it, and the more you're going to be doing it. It's just, it's common. The more you repeat the same thing over and over and over again of what you're doing, where you see yourself going, how you want to be, how you want to react, how you're going to approach things, how you're going to be as a human being, you're going to become that of which you speak. That's it. You're going to become that. And it's different for everybody. But to answer your question, for me, I know exactly what you're talking about. But my no man's land was a lot longer than 2 to 3 weeks. It was years. But, I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to be years for you. It was just because I didn't have somebody like Paul Hutchings to say to me, Bill, write those down too. The mission statement's great, but write down these affirmations and repeat them every single day. Listen to them at night. I was listening to other people. I would listen to Wayne Dyer, and I would listen to Les Calvin Brown and Tony Robbins, and I would read books like Napoleon Hill and The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz and many, 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 many other things. But I wasn't doing that. And as soon as I started doing that, Paul sent me his affirmations. Dee sent me his affirmations. So now I have my own affirmations that I repeat and reiterate every single day. And I am becoming those same things. So how long have I been on this call, Paul? What, 2 months now, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, 2 months.
Something like that.
Yep.
And I am becoming those things of which I speak every single day. So that is, you know, hugely important. So you'll get out of your no man's land in whatever time that you give yourself to repeat exactly where you see yourself, where you see yourself going, where you want to be in your life. Those are the things you need to write down and repeat them, reiterate them, listen to them, memorize them. When you find yourself kind of, you know, wandering in your life at all, go back and you'll have those memorized, listen to them again, and it'll put you right back on track. So I just wanted to add that, Paul.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, Bill. And what you said is so important. We do need to listen to Wayne Dyer and Anthony Robbins and read these books. For a couple of reasons. One is we need to think these ideas over in our minds and really come to the conclusions that, you know, this stuff is true and it will work. That's really important. But then two, these are where we're going to get a lot of these ideas and beliefs that we can apply into our lives. And the reason it's so important to really pay attention to what we're reading and what we're listening to and look for things that we can extrapolate and put on our daily manifesto is because if we, like for instance, one of the things that I've read in multiple books is rich people make decisions fast and they swiftly move forward. Sure, they gather the necessary data that they need to, but once the data is gathered, they make a decision and they move forward. And you'll notice, and I've noticed a lot of time when I'm prospecting, I talk to so many people who are completely indecisive. They're like, I don't know. I just need a little bit more time. I need more research and this and that. And I used to be that way. But one of the things on my affirmation statement is I make decisions fast and swiftly move forward. That didn't used to be me. But because every day I tell myself that through my manifesto, guess what's happening for me now? I make decisions fast and I swiftly move forward. I used to analyze and think about and, oh, if I had to make a little bit of an investment in my business, I would stew over it, you know? Man, do I really want to spend $100? You know, man, money's tight. I don't want you know, and I'm not saying go out and blow all your money because we don't want to do that, but sometimes it's necessary to invest in your business. And if you have that belief that you're going to stew over things, you're going to be held up. So, yeah, so find these things that you want to have as a part of you, put them onto your personal manifesto and repeat them on a daily basis. And just like Bill said, you will become those things. I am a decision maker now. Yesterday I made a few decisions. Boom, boom, boom. Decisions done. Moving forward now. I'm not held up by stewing over things. So, yeah, just real important stuff, really important.
Hey, I got a question. I really appreciate your comments, would you guys be able to post your affirmation statements on Facebook?
Absolutely.
Or message them to me with whatever you'd like to do. I'd love to get those.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, and I know for myself, for about 2 months, I've got some affirmations, and I've just been reading them out loud. And I'm seeing glimmers in the last 2 weeks, so it's really cool to see the little sparkles coming through.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to post my manifesto on my blog at paulhutchings.net. There's a mindset tab at the top. I'll post mine there, and anyone else who wants to post theirs, send it to me, and I will post yours as well. It'll be
cool.
We're throwing this out there to the universe that this is where we're at, and we can all learn from each other.
I'll email you mine, Paul.
Okay, awesome.
What's your name, sir?
Yeah, I'm Jeff Bolton, Virginia.
Virginia, okay. Richmond area?
No, I'm actually right outside the D.C. Beltway, man, Crime City.
Okay. I know that area, too. I used to live in Richmond.
yeah, I'm in Vienna.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your comments and really appreciate your insight and thoughts. And I definitely can appreciate no man's land. There's many times, and Paul can speak to that too, that we've both been in no man's land. And that's why this call is so important, because, you see, you say things that triggers things in other people. And so that's why we all want you to add your feelings and your thoughts to these calls, because if we don't hear from you, you know, we really don't know where to go, and we're learning from you. I mean, we're all learning. It's a tremendous process here. I mean, this call is not just about myself or Paul. It's about all of us together, self-discovery through each other. I just wanted to thank you very much for speaking up. Really appreciate that.
Well, I feel the same way about both of your observations, experience, and comments.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Appreciate it.
Hi, Paul Butte. This is Marcia Cox.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi. Well, I just want to maybe say something about this topic, because I really, really believe it. I started doing that, and then my computer crashed, and I stopped doing it. I didn't print my information, and things went down, 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 down. And finally yesterday, I said, well, you know what? I will make another one. And I did again, and I just started reading, and, you know, it's a complete different you're a different person when you do that, I think. Even if
yeah,
you
Marcia,
don't have a burning desire.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say you told me this morning how you conquered. I didn't mean to interrupt you, sweetie, but you said how you were conquering life and how life was going to be better for you today. You read that before the start of the call, and you seem so happy about it, and you're absolutely right. It is working for you. I see it in you.
Yeah, I know. And for me, it works immediately, you know, as soon as I start reading and I believe what I'm reading. But I think also for people who doesn't have a burning desire, because it's easy to have a burning desire when you are going through a difficult time in your life, then you really, really want something. But if, you know, if life is good for you and, you know, you are in a situation that is okay, it's not great, but it's not bad. So it's harder for a person to get that burning desire. So if you do the affirmation, you actually build that burning desire through the affirmation.
Absolutely. And you're right. It is harder for somebody who's maybe a little bit comfortable to really apply this stuff because there's not as much of a need. And so that need has to be created. Very good point.
Exactly.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to end the call here. We've been quite a good call. Appreciate everyone's discussion. Let's get out there and apply, my friends. Let's make it a great day. Let's move forward. And again, if you want to post your personal manifesto, send it to me and I will put it on my website. All right. Love you guys. Thanks, Bill. I believe in each of you. I really, truly, truly do. Believe in yourselves, would you? Let's all believe in ourselves. All right, have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
God bless.